Neutrino Factory from the previous speaker. Now I will try to give you some information about the status of the R&D for the building of this machine, and I will focus on the experiment for muon-ionization cooling. So the construction of a neutrino factory, as we have just heard, is not straightforward, and it poses several technological challenges. The main ones are probably the ones I've listed here. The first one is the construction of the target and collection system to get the highest possible yield of pions of both signs. The target has to sustain high power, and then we want to capture as many produced pions as possible. A second critical item is the cooling of the produced muons from the pion decays. We want to reduce the phase space of both mu plus and mu minus beams to capture as many muons as possible in the acceleration system. And finally, the acceleration itself is not trivial because we want to do it before the muons decay. So these three items are going to be the outline of my talk. So let's start from the first topic, the target and collection system. Okay, we want to achieve an intense muon beam by maximizing the production of pions of both signs. So we need to know everything about soft pion production. For this, we already have available the measurements of an American experiment, and we are eagerly awaiting the results on cross-section for pion production from the HARP experiment, on which we will hear a presentation tomorrow. Okay, to maximize pion yield, we need a high Z material. The target has to sustain a very high power from the incoming proton beam, about 4 megawatts, as Alan mentioned. And so a solid material is probably not adequate to sustain this high power. And then we want to optimize the pion capture. So the scheme, the layout for the neutrino factory target area consists of a continuous flow of a liquid target material. So a jet of mercury, which is a high Z material and can be made liquid, and then a magnetic system for the focalization of the produced pions. In the European design, it is a horn for the focalization. In the US scheme, it's a 20 Tesla superconducting solenoid. This is a sketch of the layout of the magnetic horn of the CERN neutrino factory design, and you see the incoming protons on the target and how the pions are then collected and focalized. The good news is that the prototype of this horn has actually been built at CERN. So this is actually the first piece of the neutrino factory built at CERN. Now, for what concerns the target itself, as I said before, the favorite solution at the moment is a continuous flow of liquid mercury, a liquid mercury jet. This will be tilted with respect to the direction of the incoming proton beam so that we have a longer interaction length. And then we will have an intense magnetic field to capture the produced pions with low transverse momentum. Now, there are two key issues to address in the construction of such a system, of which you see here the sketch and here an engineering solution. First, we need to know how much the mercury jet will be dispersed by this rapid energy deposition due to the intense proton pulses. And then we also want to know how the magnetic forces from the intense collection field will perturb the flow of the jet and affect the possible dispersal of the jet. These two questions cannot be answered with the current simulations available, so we need to test them directly. Some tests on the mercury jet target have already been done. One has been done in the United States with an intense proton beam of 24 GeV, but without magnetic field. Without going into details, some of the dispersal properties of the mercury jet have been tested. Another, if you wish, complementary test has been made in Europe at CERN and Grenoble, without proton beam, but with a magnetic field. And other properties of the jet dispersion have been tested. Now, the ideal thing is to put everything together. And this should be done with this experiment, which is going to take place at CERN, which is a proposal for an experiment to test a mercury jet with a speed of 10 meters per second in a 15 Tesla solenoid and with an intense proton beam. The proposal for this experiment has been submitted recently, in April, and it has been approved at CERN, so the experiment is going to be installed and commissioned by April 2006. So this is the first step for the first item. Going now on to the second item of my presentation, the reduction of BUN emittance. You can see here, you can have here an idea of the importance of this item. We can compare, this is the emittance in one dimension of the pions and the muons after the focalization in blue, compared with the typical acceptance of an acceleration. It's easy to see that we definitely need to cool the beam if we want as many muons as possible to get it to the accelerator. Now, how do we achieve this? The energy spread of the beam is reduced by phase rotation. For what concerns the transverse emittance instead, we need to cool the muon beam. The cooling of the muon beam can be done with several techniques. There are several cooling techniques available. Unfortunately, the most common ones are not adequate for the neutrino factory. Stochastic cooling is definitely too slow compared to the muon lifetime. And the frictional cooling works only for the positive muons, while we also want negative muons to circulate in the neutrino factory. So we need some new method which works for both sides of muon, and this can be ionization cooling. The principle of ionization cooling is, okay, not new, and it's actually quite simple. The muons transverse quantity of material and deposit energy, so both the longitudinal and transverse component of their momentum are reduced. Then they undergo heating because of multiple scattering in the material. And if we then reaccelerate them, we only increase the longitudinal component of their momentum, therefore achieving a cooling of the beam. This is very nice and apparently very simple. Unfortunately, in practice, things may not be so simple if we want to do this. And in fact, the muon ionization cooling has never been realized in practice. What we need to do is to build a realistic prototype and prove it to be adequate to the neutrino factory requirements. And this is just the aim of the International Muon Ionization Cooling Experiment. The aims of this experiment, MICE, are to show that it is possible to design, build, and operate a section of a cooling channel which is capable of giving the desired performances for the neutrino factory. And then to place this cooling channel on a muon beam and measure its performances with different sets of input beams. The proposal for this experiment, of which you see the cover page, has been submitted to the Rutherford Laboratory in 2003, and so far has received enthusiastic approval, so things are progressing with this experiment. So more in detail, what are the goals of the experiment? First of all, we want to build a section of a cooling channel which is long enough to provide measurable cooling effect. 10% reduction of the transverse emittance is the amount of a reduction we want to achieve, but at the same time short enough to be affordable and flexible. And then we want to measure the performance of this channel, so the transverse emittance reduction with an absolute precision at the per mil level, and the transmittance of the channel. Why is this not trivial? Well, it's because the standard emittance measurement techniques barely reach the required precision, so it's not obvious that this can be done. There is, however, a solution, which is to go to single particle measurement. So if we measure the parameters of each single track traversing the cooling channel before and after the cooling channel itself, we can achieve this precision. Of course, to do this, we need to reject non-muon background inside the channel, for example, undecayed pions or electrons from muon decays. In this way, as I mentioned, we can achieve the required precision on the emittance reduction, and we can also separate the measurement of the transmittance and of the emittance variation. What is the difficulty with this? Okay, the challenge is that the measurement should not affect the cooling, so we should keep under control the interference between the cooling and the measurement section. This is a delicate integration task of acceleration and particle detector physics tools, and something that has never been done before. How are we going to do this? This is a sketch of what the mice experiment is foreseen to look like. You can see in the center the cooling channel. Before and after it, we are going to have the trackers for the measurement of the emittance by measuring the single track parameters. And of course, we need particle identification detector both upstream and downstream to eliminate, to reject the muon component. Some more details on the cooling channel itself. This equation gives the reduction of transverse emission when a muon crosses a given thickness of material. The first term is the cooling. The second one is the heating term, which we want to minimize because it disturbs us. So we need an absorber which with a large X0, and we need a small transverse beta, so we need to focus the beam, possibly with a superconducting solenoid. We then need high gradient reacceleration, high gradient if we want to keep the channel short enough. And for 10% reduction of the emittance of 200 MeV muons, which is the typical energy we're going to work with, we require 20 megavolts in total of RF. What is the challenge here? It's the integration of all these elements in the most compact and also economic way. So the mice cooling channel might look something like this, and we foresee to have three absorbers made of liquid hydrogen, which meets these requirements, and then eight cavities operating at this frequency and with an accelerating gradient of 8 megavolts per meter. The channel will be be surrounded by 5 Tesla superconducting solenoids to give the magnetic field for containment. You can see that the cooling channel is actually being built. These are the absorber windows, which are not easy to build because you need very thin windows and you also have to comply with tight safety regulations. You can see one cavity already assembled and it's going to be closed by thin windows of beryllium to minimize the scattering as the muons go through. These are some properties of the cooling channel. Okay, here you see again the elements, the cavities and the absorbers. And this is the variation along the channel of the average energy of the muons. So this is the cooling and this is the reacceleration. This is the percentage loss. And this is how the emittance varies, how it is reduced along the channel. And these are the quantities we want to measure, the transmission of the channel and the reduction of the emittance as a function of the initial emittance. So one thing we want to measure is the equilibrium emittance, which is this value. And then we have the nominal reduction of 10% at this value of the input emittance. Now, how are we going to measure this? This is a simulation of a muon traversing the mice experiment. This is the cooling section, and before and after you have tracking detectors. With these tracking detectors, they're actually going to be spectrometers, they're going to be inside the solenoidal fields. With each one of them, you measure for each particle 6 parameters, the 3 coordinates and the derivatives, which are the ratio of the momentum components. For a sample of particles, you determine the first and second moments and the full covariant matrix of the measurements. And then from the determinants of the matrix, you evaluate the emittance and you compare the values before and after the cooling. What are the requirements on the spectrometers? Okay, you need absolute errors at the per mil level, which means that your resolution on all the measured parameters should be better than 10%. For the statistical accuracy, we will get enough muons to get the required statistical precision in about 1 hour. The systematics arise from different uncertainties in the knowledge of the apparatus, and you also need to keep under control the contamination of known muons in the beam. In addition, the detectors need to be robust against the harsh environment we're going to have due to the noise from the RF cavities, to the background, and to the intense magnetic fields. The baseline option for the mice tracker is a scintillating fiber tracker, of which you can see here a prototype. And we're also studying an alternative option, which is going to be a TPC with gem readout, allowing for full three-dimensional reconstruction of the tracks in the solenoidal field. The tracker has actually been tested with cosmic rays, and I will flash some plots about its performance, the point resolution, the light yield, and the measured efficiency, which agree well, or actually are even a bit better than the expected ones. As I said, you need to reject no muons in the beam. So upstream, we will have a system with a Toff-Hodoscope and a Cherenkov counter to reject at the 1% level the undecayed pions from the incoming beam. And then downstream, where you want to reject the electrons coming from ion decay because they will bias your measurement of the emittance, we are going to have another particle ID system consisting of another Toff station, a Cherenkov counter with aerogel, which is blind to muons but sees the electrons, and a calorimeter, which discriminates muons from electrons on the basis of the shower shape. MICE is going to be installed at the radar for the laboratory, in this hole up here, which up to a few months ago was pretty crowded with other stuff, and now it's being emptied and cleaned and prepared to host the MICE experiment. The installation is going to proceed in different steps, and we hope to complete it by 2008, subject to the availability of funds. Now, the last topic in my talk is going to be muon acceleration, which, as I said, is not trivial because the muons decay quickly. So the previous scheme for the European and American also neutrino factory included a linear accelerator and a recirculating linear accelerator. This, however, was very costly because we needed a high RF gradient to limit the losses from muon decay. To reduce the cost, you want to make the muons pass through the RF more times, and a possible solution for this is to use the so-called fixed-field alternating gradient accelerators, where the repetition rate can be raised very quickly because the magnetic field is static. This was originally proposed in the Japanese scheme for the neutrino factory and has now been adopted with enthusiasm also in the US scheme. There is a lot of R&D going on these accelerators. Most of the progress has been going on in Japan with the demonstration, the proof of principle for the working of these accelerators. Then there are new ideas in the US for a new type of accelerator, which will probably need some demonstration experiment. And the R&D in Europe is just starting. So we can hope that all these concepts can merge to produce something better. In fact, this is important because now we are working towards a world design study with an emphasis on cost reduction. This was already mentioned by Alain. We have good hope for improvement because, in fact, we already have, at least in principle, all the techniques to reduce the cost. So coming to my conclusions, I have shown you that the construction of the neutrino factory poses several stimulating challenges. The main ones deal with target and collection, muon cooling, and acceleration. There is, however, enthusiastic R&D going on, and a lot has already been accomplished. And in particular, the projects that are most alive at the moment are the construction of the, the magnetic horn has already been built, the target experiment at CERN, the muon ionization cooling experiment at RAL, and the new challenge of FFAG accelerators. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments? None? Yes.
Is the study of one particle at a time adequate? Don't you expect space charge effects when you will have bunches?
No, the rate of particles is sufficient to distinguish the single particle. It's under study how the rate of the incoming particles will affect the measurement, but we don't expect this to be a problem.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Okay, if no, thank you again.